Ladies and gentlemen and nerds of all ages, welcome to another wonderful episode of Voices from the Grid. I am your host, the one, the only, the eternal Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan, and I am joined today, once again, if you watched the previous episode, with my co-host
Watched?
for tonight, listened to the previous episode, the Blue Ranger, Michael Lindenbaum.
Who's just in all red.
Because he's weird.
But hey, I am wearing a Power Rangers hoodie.
Do you
that
want to
counts for
proceed or
something.
something here?
As she just froze nothing at a screen.
Today we are reviewing the last three episodes before we head into the finale, which is Strongman. I said that weird. I said these out of order. Which is Rival Little Strongman, Rival Rangers, and Parts and Parcel. So the first episode that we are reviewing today is Little Strongman, which is a Justin-focused episode where Justin decides to try out for the high school track team. When an ant bites him, he becomes 100 times stronger. And when Divatox finds out, she sends the Piranatrons to capture him. The Rangers later discover that Justin's new strength is a result of the bite affecting his potential for growth and his turbo powers. As a trade-off for enhancing his strength, Justin cannot morph, so he has to choose, be a Power Ranger or keep his newly found powers.
I would have preferred it if he kept his newly found powers and became a supervillain.
Yeah. No. This episode was weird.
So you talk about how he gets bitten by an ant. So we
A
see.
Radioactive ant would be my guess.
Well, hold on. So if you remember, Stone is coming back to the counter at the juice bar.
Yeah.
But
he has
as
an ant
he's,
problem.
But as he is, he starts like tiptoeing around because he sees all these ants, and you really see the ants on the counter. Enter Bulk and Skull, who have the. Which, by the way, how? How did Bulk and Skull cause an earthquake walking into the juice bar?
I don't think they caused an earthquake. It was meant to show the, like, weight of their equipment.
Sure. But anyways, so they show off, like, what they're trying to do, the ant extermination, and apparently the strange exterminator spray that Bulk and Skull were kind of spraying around hit one of the ants that mutated the ant, so when it bit Justin, we now have Spider-Man, but Ant-Man via Justin.
Can the FBI branch at Angel Grove investigate whatever employer hired Bulk and Skull? Because these fumes like seem like they could be very useful for, I don't know, maybe preventing future invasions of aliens.
Yeah,
Because,
I
you know,
mean,
you could, like, spray it on humans and humans will get powers or something.
No. You got to let them all get bitten by the ants.
Whatever.
So that's how we
But
get them. So good job, Bulk and Skull.
But it's so part of this episode is Justin still dealing with the insecurities of the fact that he's a 10-year-old, 12-year-old who is in high school and he wants to do what the other kids do and he wants to try out for the track team, which is like the triathlon team, I guess. And he's just like, he's not there.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't know the for someone who apparently was Okay, so last episode we talked about how they did baseball wrong. They also did track wrong.
Yep.
Because if Justin is training and is training to join the track team and do all of these things like the pole vault and the javelin throw and all this other
And the
thing,
shot put, yeah.
None of the techniques are there. So what the heck was he doing the entire time? And Carlos is just standing there. And he, like, tries to, at one point, offer Justin a small piece of advice, but Justin stops him. And so you end up with this, like, really weird situation where, like, Justin is mad at the fact that he sucks when he clearly didn't put the right effort in.
So
Even, like, factoring in that he's, like, 12.
I can speak on this from experience, because like this episode also does resonate in a way to me, because like in the beginning of the episode, like he can't do the shot put, like he can barely throw the little sh the shot put ball far enough. He really can't throw the javelin far enough. And the actual high school athlete kids are making fun of him, like the older kids. And I can relate to that, albeit not a 12-year-old trying to get in with a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds. Because like obviously when I played ice hockey, you know, when I tried out for the high school team, I was cut. You know, as a forward, I was brought back as a goalie, and I had to re learn a whole new position. And I had people picking on me the entire time on the team when trying to learn a new position. So it's like I can kind of feel where Justin's at, because it's like you want to do your best.
That is not proper hockey bro behavior, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, this was also the early 2000s where yeah, I can't say some of the stories on here because it's definitely not PG. But the thing is though is that, you know, like I feel for him because I understand the wanting to fit in with the team and wanting to, you know, be part of the team and, you know, being good and being a valuable asset to the team. But also having the roadblocks of, like, in my case, having to relearn how to play the game in a whole new position that I'd never played before. And for him, getting into something that, yeah, he wanted to do it all of his life, or as since he was even a smaller kid, but probably not having the proper training to go into as such of a situation to do that.
Which, given the amount of like different classes offered at the juice bar, like you'd think he could have found someone to help him like train a little bit more, but you can't really do shot put a javelin at the juice bar.
I mean, one of the interesting things is like when you think of the track team, you also think of like the running. It's like, why did he have to go for shot put or javelin or pole vault when he could have been one of the track runners and running? Like, yeah,
Yeah,
like that's the one thing I always thought. Like, why couldn't he just do that? Because that would have been a little bit easier for him. I mean, I wouldn't have him like jumping over the little vault
the pole
things.
vault.
Yeah, not the pole vault, but like you know how like they have the ones where the runners have to jump over the little barrier
Oh,
thing.
yeah.
Like I wouldn't have him do that, obviously, because of his size, but like he can be part of the team relay. He can run one of those this.
Justin finds his place on the team eventually.
Yeah.
But there's also this like it's like I don't know what the message of this is. Don't get bitten by a radioactive ant. Or I guess try to find what you're good at and do that. But it's there's like this point where TJ tells, so basically Justin gets bitten by the spider and he like goes into the auditions and he of course kicks major butt because he's super strong and athletic now and whatever. And there's a point where once he finds out that he has to choose between the two, being a ranger or keeping these powers, TJ tells him, like, look, you're essentially like, this is the Peter Parker thing, right? If you couldn't be, if you weren't good at football beforehand, you can't really do it now. And so he has to have this conversation with Justin about, like, look, is it really a real win if, like, arguably you're not, like, this is just an enhancement? They're
Yeah.
superpowered steroids.
I wonder how that
They
the
affect his performance as a ranger, so these are superpowered steroids.
I wonder how the drug testing would happen to Justin, like when you go to the track meet and they go, yo, this kid, he's 12 years old and he's doing the pole vault without a pole. Let's drug test him.
All right.
You know? I wonder what the FDA would have to say about that, or whatever the governing body for like the drug testing for these track meets would be. So.
So, in all honesty, this is like, how would you rate this episode if you had to give it like a grade?
First off, we haven't talked about the most important thing. Diva
We'll get to
talks.
the Justin. We'll get to Diva Talks. I'm sorry, just the Justin part.
I think the Justin part is fine because, again, like I said, I can relate to it as as an athlete myself, as somebody who's tried out for teams and has failed, and knowing the locker room like atmosphere and stuff like that, and you wanting to be part of that, and like I understand that whole thing. So it is a very relatable episode in that sense. And then you have the performance enhancing ant, which does put in just.
Kids, don't, parents, don't let your children get bitten by radioactive bugs or radioactive arachnids. Please seek help at your nearest comic book store immediately.
But the
But
thing is
speaking
though, is
of,
that
let's
but
talk.
putting Justin in that choice of do I keep my powers or my newfound powers or do I want to be a Power Ranger, like it is a good dilemma to put him into as a kid, because it hopefully it makes him a better person down the road. So
Hopefully.
hopefully holding in
Okay, so
comments.
then let's talk about sort of the real interesting bit here, which is what you got at, which is what's going on with Divatalk?
So apparently Porto is making her a trio of Zords, and in this episode we are introduced to the Diva Zord. Cause yes.
Divatox is over here causing all sorts of trouble.
Although it's
She's got her
funny.
new.
No, go
Yeah.
ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say she's got her new fancy schmancy lunar base that's totally not ripped off somebody else's. So she's getting stuff. She's plotting stuff.
Yeah, but like it's interesting too, because it's like she goes into the battle, and when it's time to fight the Megazord, she does a little bit, and then she's like, "Nah, screw this, I'm retreating." So it's like, well, that's Zordless.
Because Divatox also doesn't fight herself, right? She sends monsters. So, plus, Porto warns her that the Zord needed a test drive before it was ready, so it was still glitching.
Yep.
So, Divatox is very, very impatient.
Which is a theme for these next two episodes as well, because there's two more Zords being test driven.
Yeah, Divatox seems to just like she keeps focusing on the wrong things, right? Like, okay, if you're gonna create a Zord, like bide your time, right? Get all of the glitches out and then smash the crap out of Angel Grove and the Rangers. But she's impatient. Okay, yeah, so obviously Justin decides to be a ranger instead of a super powered runner or shot put thrower, javelin stabber, whatever, jumper.
Track star.
Track star. But he makes some new friends and he does get a position on the team. What is that position, Michael?
He becomes like one of the coaches, essentially. I don't remember the name of it.
It was like strategist or something.
Yeah, it was like positional strategist or whatever it was, but he's like essentially a coach on the team.
Well, yeah, because he understands this stuff, even if he can't do it himself.
Yet.
So I thought that was a nice bit that they didn't like make him a water boy or anything. Not that there's anything wrong with being a
Which
water
they
boy,
did,
but like,
which the high schoolers did joke about, hey, we do need a
yeah.
water boy.
Like, yes, but you also need to get some wins. So.
And this is
I'm
around.
just curious how he explained his powers going like bye-bye.
Let's see here. I want to see something real quick.
But there was also a
This
bit
is
at the
also a year
well,
before the Waterboy movie came out.
it's not like the concept of the water boy was invented by Adam
I
Sandler.
know, but the thing is, though, is that it would have been a cultural relevance because of said movie.
Yeah, no, Power Rangers is not that deep.
Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. It just depends on the on and who's writing episodes and whatnot.
That's true. That's very true. Now let's get to what is there any other notes you have before we get to the worst episode out of these three?
Nope.
Okay, so then we're gonna go into an episode that I had the hardest time getting through because it was stupid.
And it's also a trope that's been redone a few times too, already.
Done to death. Because they're girls. What else could girls have possibly to do other than fight over a boy? Okay, so basically the shtick of it is Ashley tries to go to the school dance with a boy that Cassie likes, and the boy ends up turning both of them down and going with another girl. That's it. And Cassie's kind of like teasing Ashley, and Ashley's kind of a jerk to Cassie, and they make up by the end of it, and it was really stupid. Thoughts on this episode?
And Diva Tox unveiled the second Zord, which she forced Porto into battle with.
I actually really feel bad for Porto. He needs some workplace comp at this point.
Well, I
Because
mean,
Diva starts creating a hell of a hostile work environment.
the interesting thing is, like, forget the main storyline. The beginning of the episode literally starts with Diva Tox talking to Porto and pretty much going, "Oh, by the way, you're test driving the Zord this time." And Porto's like, "No, I'm not a fighter. I'm just the mechanic, you know, kind of thing. I'm just like the brains or something." And I think that's the line that set her off, that sent him down there anyways. And but yeah, so I feel bad for Porto. But the
Look,
Zord actually looks kind of cool in practice, because it's a shark Zord. It's actually kind of cool. But going to
this
the
version is
Ashley,
cool.
yeah, but going to the Ashley Cassie side, it's like, I've said it on an episode before, and I'll say it again. It would be cool to have two women fighting over me, but it's never going to happen. But with that said, I mean, yeah, we've seen this trope so many times already. We've seen him get into it with another woman in an episode before, maybe multiple times, I think. We've seen Kat and Kim go at it over Tommy before in the past. We've seen.
Look, point is, this is the whole gr two girls fighting over the same guy is boring, it's dumb, and
Or
it can be.
not necessarily fighting over the same guy, because like you also had the episode of Kim and Aisha when Aisha first joined the team, and the two of them had like a rough patch because of like Aisha had a friend that was not a guy but a girl that she wanted to hang out with all the time, or like, and like Kim and that person didn't get along or whatever. So it's like, it's not always about a boy. It's just the trope of two women
Yeah.
in general gets old real
It's
fast.
like, yes, girls can do like other stuff. Like, it would have been interesting if, like, maybe Cassie and Ashley had like a project that they needed to work on and they were frustrated by like the third person in the group not doing their project, their like part of it. Like, there's so many ways you could have done this episode that didn't involve them fighting over a boy. And it gets really stupid really quickly. Because there's like this implication that he likes Kathy, but he also asks Ashley to like teach him how to dance because his little sister's taking her class.
But
And there's
then you
this.
have the third girl come in the library when Ashley's talking
Yep.
to Bobby about the dancing lessons, and then the girl or Bobby gets embarrassed, and the girl's like, "Oh no, it's okay, because I need to learn how to dance too." And apparently you end up finding out that that's the girl he wanted to go ask out. And it's like,
Yeah.
so it's like,
What's also really interesting is in some of the episodes that we've watched, there seems to be this kind of like dynamic of like we've seen a couple of episodes like Carlos and Ashley doing stuff and then Cassie and TJ, which makes sense because of how these characters met and everything, that they'd naturally be closer to those individuals. But it's funny that like when Ashley suggests, so there's a point where Cassie and Bobby go to the park and Ashley also wants to be there because she also likes Bobby, so she grabs TJ.
poor
And
TJ.
I'm pretty sure it's in one of the episodes I recorded with Brian where I say something along the lines of like, I could see Cassie and TJ becoming a thing. I think the two have like a good chemistry together. And like it was just weird that it wasn't like this is an episode that like didn't have much of Carlos and instead Ashley just happened to grab TJ to play catch.
Yeah. And it's just oh yeah, Glenda's the name of the person that Bobby ended up taking to the dance, because Mandy's the
Yeah.
sister, the little girl.
Yes, Mandy's a little sister.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, although I will say I do love how they did some of the pettiness though, where it's like,
Yeah.
as you mentioned, Cassie goes to the park with Bobby, she's playing guitar and whatnot, and then next thing you know, Ashley's like, come here, TJ. And I feel bad for TJ because he just gets dragged into this and he's like, I don't want any of this crap. But they go play catch, and then it's the four-way catch, and then you have Ashley like purposely throw the ball towards the sprinkler. There's a thing about sprinklers with these people for whatever reason. This is like the second episode we've done where sprinklers are involved. But the dog one.
Less weird.
So, and obviously Cassie slips and falls into the watery grass because of it. Because Ashley's like, haha, I got you.
I will give this episode credit for one part. So Bobby and Cassie are about to leave when Bobby's car stops working. Ashley offers to fix it because she took auto shop.
Yep.
Girls can do auto shop,
And
so thank
actually,
you for that. But which makes sense because they will have cars.
and if I remember right, Brian and I actually did the episode where Ashley learns how to actually did the whole workshop episode. So the fact that they came back around to the whole Ashley can do car repairs was kind of nice.
That is nice.
But there's one thing I have to complain about. Like, this is
Only one.
the most important complaint. You ready? Bulk and Skull did not appear in this episode.
They did have, like, in the last episode, re-recorded. They had a pretty decent, they had a decent episode, and the next episode that we still have to talk about does have some very nice moments of Vulcan Skull.
Yes.
So
And real
it is a very
quick,
minor gripe.
yeah, it is a minor gripe, but also note the girl Mandy, the little girl. She actually appears one more time in Power Rangers in Space in the episode Rangers Gone Psycho.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well then we will have to talk about that when we get there. We're so close.
So, and with
We're
that,
almost to the finish
that brings us to our last episode of this
line. Yes,
episode.
which is parts and parcel. So the basic shtick of this episode is that Bulk and Skull are in danger of being thrown in jail and fired because their new employ because
Well,
their
no.
employers at a delivery company.
So what it is?
And they can I
No, you're going to the end of the episode, not the beginning of the episode. So
I'm just reading the description, but okay, so the premise is someone is stealing packages that Bulk and Skull are delivering, and the boss thinks that they're the ones doing it. So TJ volunteers essentially to help them to prove that they're innocent because they're goofballs, but they're not thieves. And ultimately they find out that it is Divatox and the Piranatrons who are actually stealing parts for a remote control so that she can remote control the three Zords.
Yep.
That's really the gist of this episode.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is that like this is also in a way kind of a rehash of an episode from Zeo when Bulk and Skull were working on getting their detective licenses, where they're trying to find out like where all this comedy stuff is coming from. And they
Oh,
have
all of the practical jokes.
And
Yeah.
they had to compete against those other two, that other detective duo in like an actual contest to earn their license and stuff. Or no, not to earn their license, but to win this contest.
Who
And
turned out to be like responsible for the thing. Yeah.
yeah, the other duo was responsible for the whole thing in the first place. And so it's like in a way, it's a rehash, just minus another duo that they have to go up against. But it's really nice seeing like, Bulk and Skull, they do their undercover thing first by themselves, and they have issues with it. And that's when you mentioned TJ overhears them while he's with Cassie and Ashley, and he knows that they're not, I'm going to use the word that they put on the Ranger Wiki, he knows that they're numbskulls but not thieves. I like numbskulls. That's a
I'm
funny
pretty
one.
sure he actually says goofballs in the show,
I
though.
think so too, but like I like how they put down numbskulls in the Ranger Wiki.
I don't, but
But he tells Bulk and Skull, "Hey, I'll help you out," and he goes out and does the
not
stakeout with
big
Bulk and
time.
Skull, which is like so cool to see that, because like you never like even in the last time you had the other Rangers technically helping out Bulk and Skull too.
Yep.
Except instead of one ranger this time around, it was like the entire team helping him.
Yeah, and so the first time they do it, it doesn't really go well. So the second time, the girls get involved, and they put Skull in a dress, and he's an old lady that's getting a package delivered by bulk. It was actually really funny. The cross-dressing is pretty funny. And then ultimately it's discovered that it's the Quantrons that are Quantrons is next season that are stealing all of the Spervivitox. And then ultimately the Rangers, actually the Power Rangers, not TJ and the gang, but the Power Rangers present to the police and the owner of the delivery company the I can't believe it's not UPS, that Bulk and Skull are actually innocent, and help them figure out who the real thieves were.
Yep. And one of the nice moments too is near the end of the episode, after Bulk and Skull get the apology and raise from their boss for the wrongful accusation, Bulk stops to tell Ashley and Cassie that TJ is an okay guy by him. And they tell Bulk that TJ said the same thing about him and Skull.
Hug TJ, and it's a little awkward, but
But it's nice.
sweet.
It's nice. It's
Yeah.
organic. It's good. And
Yeah,
then
it's a really sweet episode.
obviously in this episode you have the Cat Zord, which is the third of the Divatox Zords, and this one's actually outright destroyed.
Yeah, Divatox really should stick to, like, I don't know, what is Divatox good at? Being a pirate? Sassy one-liners? Gaslighting her employees.
Creating a toxic work environment.
Yeah, really though.
And then what was the other one? Oh yeah, that's right. In the last episode, not Parts and Parcel, but the beginning of the last episode, they had when Divatox is telling Porto that he has to be the one to do the test driving of the Shark Zord, the Piranitrons are bringing in like treasure, and she's just like scooping up the treasure. So it's like, so she's playing with her treasure like she's Scrooge McDuck.
Because again, she's a space pirate, so that begs the question of, like, how do we go from, pillaging and like, finding treasure and doing all of that to, like, wanting to take over the world?
I honestly want to ask this question. Why didn't Divatox come back when Super Mega Force came out? Because they're in pirate outfits. She's a pirate. Would have worked.
Hashtag things that could have improved Megaforce. Answer everything.
Just don't bring Demetria back, though.
Yeah, nobody wants that again. But yeah, it actually would have been cool because, like, at the end of, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but we know Divatox doesn't get destroyed at the end of all of this. So having her come back to Megaforce as a mentor, as a former villain, would have been so good. Because who needed that freaking stupid talking tiki head of uselessness?
But hey, guess what? There's an explanation for that.
Yeah, it's called Nobody Care to make a proper anniversary season. And in studio interference and mean people and bad writing and so many other things. So which one of your favorite was your favorite out of the three of these?
Honestly, it had to be, it's a toss-up between Little Strongman and Parts and Parcel. Because Little Strongman, it's the relatable episode, being the
Yeah.
athlete. But then Parts and Parcels, because it's like we also get our Bulk and Skull centric episode, which is a fun little episode too, where we have stakeouts and the Rangers are helping, and it's nice. So.
I don't know. It's definitely, I think the last one is probably my favorite, but just 'cause I don't know, like, I like the TJ centered episodes. I think they've done, like, a good job of establishing him as, like, with, like, maybe not the best advice to Justin, or, like, phrasing it in the best way, but overall I thought, he's a good leader so far, and he's a good character. I enjoy him, and he's cute too.
Whatever.
It's always a bonus when they're smart and attractive.
So with that.
Okay, so with that, Michael, we are about to go forth and record the finale with Ben and Brian.
I'm sure they're thrilled.
I mean, we are about to blast off into space. And the Rangers are about to chase into space. So, it's been a wild ride this season.
Yep. Tis it has.
So with that, where can the people find you on the social medias?
They can find me on Twitter at @thelindabomb75, same handle on Blue Sky. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and of course the show itself at VFTG_PR on Twitter, and then click on the link tree for everywhere you can find the show. You?
And you definitely want to listen to, although technically if they're listening to this episode, they've already found the show.
They know
But
what I
you know, tell your
mean.
friends. Tell your friends. And you can of course find me over on Blue Sky and on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. So until we chase into space, grab your morphers. And join us for the end of Turbo and maybe Power Rangers Forever.
May the power
And may
protect
the
you.
power protect you.